Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. With me for the next hour, the general manager of our college football team, Dustin Schutte. Dustin, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jim. How are you?
I am doing very well, thank you. I was telling you before we started recording, I got the opportunity last week to interview Penn State's general manager, which, by the way, I think GMs are more interesting, or their job at least is more interesting even than the head coach. So I'd rather talk to them than the head coach. But it gave me this idea, talking to a GM, seeing the things that he has to deal with and how he deals with them, I thought, who in the world would be better at the job of college football GM than my buddy Dustin Schutte? So today, Dustin, we're going to let you be the GM. How's that?
That sounds good. I hope not to disappoint everybody as much as the Mets front office has. And
you just weren't going to let me go today, were you, as you're wearing your Atlanta Braves shirt?
Well, to be fair, I think the Braves have now lost six of eight, something like that. So I need to get my jabs in while I still can.
Well, I think they're pretty safe where they are, unfortunately. And I know you and I would love to be GMs of our baseball teams that we have interest in, but we're going to talk about college football because, Dustin, the game has changed so much where previously nobody even knew who the GMs were. In fact, I don't think they typically even used the title GM until the last couple of years. But now, I mean, the job of general manager in college football is very close to the job of general manager in the NFL, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, because you have to be able to – I mean, there's a lot of factors that go involved in this now. Like, you have to be able to weigh, okay, I have set amount of dollars that I'm able to spend. Where am I going to best spend those dollars? How am I going to try to make everybody happy? Obviously, that's an impossible task. You got to maintain relationships with current players. And, you know, now in the transfer portal, you got to try to maintain it. So, you know, just as an example, I don't have but if I say, wow, I really like Jim as my starting running back, maybe the money's not quite there, I still got to maintain a good relationship with you, because let's say you go to, you know, State Tech and I want you at State A&M. 2 years down the road, if things don't work out where you are, I still have maybe that good relationship to bring you back if you decide you're going to enter the transfer portal. So, you know, it's from the top down, from GM all the way down to the assistant coach, these things are important, but it's even more important now that you got a monetary aspect to it.
It really is. And let me ask the question this way. How important is the money? Is it the typical player? Is he just going to go to the highest bidder, Dustin?
I would say no. But I do think that there's an appeal there. I do think that there are some now, maybe some of your top end talent, some players that, you know, here's the thing. If I feel good about two schools and one school says, hey, I can offer you an extra $1 million. Okay. That's a pretty significant chunk of change. If I like, you know, I'm going to use our two schools. If I really like what Purdue has to offer me, but Penn State can offer me an extra $20,000, maybe it's not worth it. Maybe I take the less money because I feel like I can carve out a role earlier at Purdue. Maybe I'm going to throw this out there, Jim, even though I know maybe they have the degree that I want to pursue in those student athletes, right? So there's a lot of, maybe you fall in love with the campus, the people, the coaching staff. So I do think, like, to an extent, I don't think money is everything, but I do think if there's a large enough difference between, you're probably going to go to the highest bidder.
Well, a couple thoughts on that. First of all, do you agree with this thought that there is a difference between the high school recruit and a player in the transfer portal? By that, I mean the high school recruit, he's young, impressionable, probably has the boy I grew up a fan of Purdue. I grew up as a fan of Penn State. I'm from Indiana, or I'm from Pennsylvania, so that's part of me growing up with it. It's right down the road. My family could come watch me, all of that. So even though money's an aspect of it, all these other things come into play even more. As opposed to a player, and let's pretend he enters the portal, not because, gee, I am not playing where I am, and it doesn't look like my prospects are good to play this coming year, so I want playing time, that kind of thing. But I'm making myself available to the best offer. So it's, you know, is there a difference there between the high school recruit and the guy who's in the transfer portal?
It's a good question. I mean, I think there probably is, because we all have, most of us have our childhood team or our team we grew up watching, or at least, you know, maybe there's a couple teams that you grew up watching, so they're close to your heart for whatever reason. But now I think that the transfer, I mean, it's really hard for the transfer portal, because it probably depends on, you know, there are so many scenarios that play out. Am I leaving because I'm getting a higher offer? Am I leaving because I'm not getting playing time, so therefore I have to transfer maybe down to the MAC or the FCS or another level? So I think there is I do think that there is a difference in terms of what those players are evaluated. Because every high school kid, every kid that I've talked to, and I would be the same way if I had that level of confidence, everyone thinks they can make an immediate impact. Almost every one of them probably thinks they're going to be a day one starter and be able to make, you know, work their way up and make big time money. I think that that's still the case for some of the kids in the transfer portal, but I also believe that there's, after you've been through it for a year or two, there's probably a realization among most of where you kind of stand.
And I think also it's more of a business at that point. And if you go to, I often like, Dustin, to make the analogy to real life, meaning not just what you and I do in this profession that we're in, but out in the real world. I'm not even sure what we do is part of the real world, Dustin.
Right.
But I used to be out there in the real world. And, you know, I think you leave for the same reasons, you know. Instead of not getting enough playing time, I'm not getting the promotion I thought I should.
Right.
I'm not getting compensated the way I think I should. Those kind of things create an atmosphere where I put my resume out there.
Yeah.
I'm entering the portal. I want to see what's out there. And all of a sudden, you know, someone else shows you love. And the way they do that is offering you more money than what you currently make. So you're already inclined to leave, and you find, you know, a financial reason to go to the next guy, Dustin.
Right. And I think what's also important to understand is, like, I'm not trying to compare, you know, our real world experiences to what these athletes are enduring, but I do think there are some similarities here. And this is why I also don't think it's always about money. And this is just my experience. Maybe I'm the idiot in the room, right? But I had at one time in my life, when a much younger Dustin, when he was not quite as much a journalist, I had two different offers. And one offer was probably not significantly more, but enough of a pay bump. And the other offer, I just clicked with the group immediately. It was a little bit less money, but I clicked with that group. So I took the job where I felt like I was going to click better, and then say, you know what, I can make up that money if I get promotions and work really hard and do that. And that's exactly what happened. So I do think that there's an element of that still. Like, you might have kids that transfer that actually take less money, but it just feels like a better fit. You know, maybe you don't, and for no fault of anybody at Penn State, but maybe you say, you know what, this isn't quite the environment I want. I had a really good vibe when I was on my official visit to Wisconsin. I think I'm going to fit in better with their staff, even though it may be a pay. But then you know, a couple of years down the road, Jim, you get an offer for X amount of dollars more, and you're like, boy, that's too good to turn down. And so there's probably a number of quarterbacks that are at, you know, let's use Fernando Mendoza as an example. Good quarterback at Cal, probably got paid a decent amount of money. But now you have a chance where you feel like you're going to be promoted and make more money while competing for a national championship. Well, sometimes I don't care how I fit in. I just got to spend 1 year there, and I'm going to make a lot of money, and I'm going to compete for a national championship. So I think that there's a lot of elements to this, and that's what I, you know, to the overarching picture here, I think that's what makes the GM's job so interesting. You've got to be able to find those pieces who want to fit into your roster and make the money work. And we've been playing this in professional sports for years, but it's even more interesting because there are, 136 colleges at the FBS level? So you're competing with a lot more schools than you are in programs and franchises in the MLB, NFL, NBA, so on.
And you really are competing with that many. And as I talked about in an earlier show, Dustin, I had the opportunity to talk to the Penn State GM last week, and I asked him these kind of questions, and it was interesting the way he put it. At Iowa State, they didn't have a lot of money to spend. It's much different at Penn State, and he readily has said that. And he talked about at Iowa State, as money started to come into play, they didn't talk any differently to recruits. They talked about, are we the right fit? Do you want to be here? Do we want you to be here? And once they came out with the idea, okay, we know this is a fit both ways, now let's talk about money, and we will give you fair compensation. Now, come to Penn State, he says, we are looking to do the same thing. And I asked him the question, you know, what will turn you off from a recruit? And he kind of reversed it in that first we find out, are they a fit every other way before we get into money? And then we offer what we think is fair compensation. Now, here's the problem or the question or the challenge going forward. What we think is fair compensation may not match what you think is fair compensation, or what we think is fair compensation may not match what Georgia thinks is fair compensation for the same player. Dustin, we're going to talk more about that when we come back right after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim, he's Dustin. It's quarter number two of our show. We're talking about how to be a GM in college football and how to handle things. I made reference to the Penn State GM, what he has talked about, how they deal with players. And if you're listening to this show, you are probably a Penn State fan, and you probably know last week Penn State lost a four-star wide receiver to Georgia. They lost that receiver was a commitment to Penn State. They also, a five-star running back named Kamen Spell from Pennsylvania, who had been committed to Penn State with James Franklin, decommitted. We saw crystal ball predictions for him to recommit to Penn State, and lo and behold, he commits to Georgia. And so, Dustin, I guess, and the thinking here is, and I have no reason not to believe this, is both of them, they were financial decisions. And first of all, I don't blame the kids if they make a financial decision. But that's how it's going to be. Now, if you are a Power Four school who has thoughts of being a playoff contender, a conference championship, and a national championship contender, like Penn State does, can you win if you're going to be outbid for certain players?
Yeah, that's the interesting part of this. And I think that, look, you have two different opportunities. You have the rev share, and then you have the NIL. So what you know, you might be able to give players a certain amount based on position or talent or age or whatever the case might be, but you're still going to have a pretty good NIL plan in place if you're going to land some of these top end recruits from, you know, if you're competing with schools like Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, schools that they do have a lot of money in just about every regard. I don't think you have to win all of the, like, you're not going to win all of them. And if I think it depends on where you're allocating the money. So I'm going to use Jeff Brohm as an example of this, just because he's the best example I have. Jeff Brohm's really good at developing quarterbacks and wide receivers. I think Purdue had two 4-star wide receivers. And I know Purdue did not have a national championship type run, but what they did do is they had a lot of bowl appearances. They won the Big Ten West. They were a lot of fun to watch. So if I'm Jeff Brohm and that staff, do I say, hey, why are we spending $3.5 million on this quarterback? I can develop a $1 million quarterback, and then I can put pieces around him. And I can spend a little bit more maybe on my offensive line, defensive line, cornerbacks, you know, whatever the case might be. So, you know, I don't think it's the end of the world if you get outbid at certain positions. I think that there are some schools that are just going to push all their chips to the table. But I use this example, and it also irritated me. Indiana won the national championship, and they pretended like they didn't spend all that much money. Like, yes, you spend a good amount of money. Don't try. There's no point in lying about it. But did they spend as much as like Texas or Ohio State or Alabama? I would believe no. I don't believe they did. So you can fall into that category as well, where if you have a good coaching staff and you have guys who can develop talent and find, better ways to allocate your money, maybe you don't get all the four and 5-star guys, but we just saw you don't have to have those level of guys in order to compete for national championships. So, you know, I think you can get outbid. You just have to be smart and understand who you're recruiting and make sure that they fit in well and that you develop them.
It's good to know that you, Dustin, are no longer bitter about Indiana winning a national championship.
Not at all. Should we talk about the Knicks next?
Oh, bitter Dustin. Anyway, in looking at this, a lot of folks are of the feeling, even though Indiana is like the exception to the rule, they and I don't know if they're just going to continue to be the exception to the rule or if they've kind of changed the rules of college football and how it exists. So a lot of folks think, Dustin, that the era of player compensation has just led to even more of the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. I don't think that's the case. And we see like teams like Texas Tech and Indiana, SMU, these teams are excelling. They're making the playoffs. They never did it before. Yeah, they're doing it with money, but they had no chance before, Dustin.
Well, part of this too is, Jim, think if I'm at Georgia, and we're probably just use SEC schools here, right? If I'm at Georgia, and let's say my offer at Penn State was $500,000, my offer at Georgia was $1 million, and I take that Georgia offer. If I know I'm going to be an NFL player and I've got an ankle problem, am I risking it against a game against Tennessee in October when it's a 12-team play? Like, so you may also get, I think part of this too is you've got to recruit guys that you know are going to give all-out effort. And I think sometimes when you get players who are only in it for the money and they know they're going to the NFL, are you getting the same level of buy-in as you are – with some of these maybe three-star guys, guys who are trying to play for the next contract, play for an NFL, maybe try to get more money from Penn. Like, I don't give, throw me a Penn State player who is good but not great.
Andrew Rapoyer, the tight end.
You use the person with the one name I cannot pronounce, Jim.
Rapoyer.
Rapoyer. Okay, so let's say Andrew Rapoyer is making, you know, $100,000 at his position, and he's a, I don't know, is he a sophomore, junior?
I think this is his third year. Okay, year three guy is a better way for me to put it. Forget that freshman, sophomore stuff.
Fair enough. So if he's a junior, he may be saying, you know what, I could make X amount more dollars if I put together a really good season in Penn State. If I've already got that from Georgia, what's my incentive then to be even better? Because the money's going to run out at some point. Now you can say NIL, you could get a, become a higher draft pick, whatever. But I do think that there's a level of, I do think that for some players, there's a level of, I've already got my money. I'm not going to risk this hurt ankle. Whereas Andrew Rapoyer may say, you know what, I need to tough it out. It's not that bad. It's not that big of a deal. I'm not saying anybody needs to play if they're actually legitimately hurt, but I don't know. I think that a lot of this boils down to getting the right guy. There's a number of examples of players, and I'm not going to use any specific examples, but there's a number of players who it's like, could you have played though? Could you, or the thing that bugs me more than anything is I've played my four games. We're not in the college football playoff race anymore. We've already lost one or two games. Let me sit out and preserve my redshirt year. That drives me bonkers. There is nothing that says I am in it for the money more than that to me.
And that's obvious, yes. And I think that irritates everybody. And I think we all have to be very careful about painting with a broad brush when there's just a handful of examples. I say that, but one of the things that really bothers me, and at Penn State, we saw this for the bowl game where, hey, if you're a first round draft pick in the NFL and you sit out a bowl game, your team didn't make the playoffs. I kind of get it, but there were players who they weren't necessarily even going to be drafted. You know what? You're passing on the opportunity of playing perhaps your last time you're ever going to suit up. You know, you may never play again, and you're sitting out a game. I don't understand that one, Dustin.
No, I don't either. And this is where I think if you do go to contracts and collective bargaining, if I'm somebody who donates money or NIL or whatever, and I know the NIL might be looking a little bit different, but I'm putting that in there. Like, you, unless you have a significant injury ruled by a team doctor, you're playing in every game we play, right? Like, yes. I don't care if it's the national championship game or if it's the Pop-Tart Bowl. You're going to be playing in that game because we're paying you, and this is it's a chance to add another. I don't care what people say. Like, it's at least a chance for you to play one more game. It's a chance for you to add another trophy. It helps with your exposure. There's no negative to me to playing another football game. Now, yeah, you can argue the injury, obviously, but that's what you sign up for. And how many players at the end of their NFL career say, I wish I could have played one more game with my college teammates, just one more. Ends up being a regret in most cases.
And the fact is, for over 100 years, college football was played for the longest time, Dustin, without a playoff, without an official national champion. Okay.
Yeah.
And if only winning a championship was your only basis for playing the game, well, why are you playing a regular season game? You know? Right. And let's not forget, and Penn State went through the Pinstripe Bowl, a lot of guys sat out who I thought had they had the right to sit out, but you know what? They had no logical reason to sit out. But the fact is, even though we also knew a whole bunch of the players that did play would not be playing for Penn State again because of the portal and the change in coaches and all of that, Penn State beat Clemson that day. It was a fun game to watch. The players that played in it had a great time. they won. That's part of why they had a great time. But fans enjoyed it. Fans showed up at the stadium to watch the game. Fans on TV. I know my family, it was over the holidays. We were all around the TV watching the game. It's fantastic. It's the reason why we all love college football, to watch the game itself and forgetting, you know, the championships or the NFL or any of those other things. Can't we just enjoy the game because we enjoy the game?
Yeah, this is the one thing that I go back to all the time. Like, and I've had conversations, like, obviously Penn State wanted to win national championships. My wife, her Nebraska, they wanted to win national championships. So they, you guys just don't get it, Jim. You don't get, like, the Rose Bowl for the Big Ten used to be the national, that was, we didn't care what.
Bigger than the national championship.
And I remember just going to, like, the Outback Bowl, and it was like, oh, man, this is awesome. And so college football has lost so much of that, and I wish we could go back and get it back, but that's not going to happen, unfortunately.
I know there are pieces of it that have gone away, but for me, there's still it's an event to see a regular season game at Beaver Stadium, okay? It's still an event that means a lot to the people watching. We'll talk more about this, Dustin, when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter three. He's Dustin Schutte. I'm Jim Galante. I promised when we started this, Dustin, we were going to make you a GM. So I want to get to the kind of questions that matter if you're putting a team together. And it's much different. We talk about, I follow Penn State, you follow Purdue. They're in two different positions. Penn State's in a position where they're going to spend a lot more money than Purdue, more money than Iowa State, where Matt Campbell came from. They're not going to spend as much money, though, as Georgia or Ohio State or Miami or Texas Tech. So there's the different levels, but what doesn't change is you have a budget when the season starts. You have X amount of money, and you've got to budget that money. So how do you do that, Dustin? How do you allocate your money? So now I sent you, and this is one of the things that I think is changing in the sport. I found online, this is the range of what quarterbacks make, what wide receivers make, linemen, every position. And it's kind of interesting just to see, and again, at quarterback, the rate is anywhere from $1 million to $4 million. That's a pretty wide span, okay?
Yeah.
I took the numbers on the low end for each position on offense, and it comes out to about $5 million. On defense, same thing, about $5 million. If you go to the high end, it's more like $11 million per each side of the ball. Okay, these are just for your starters. 22 players at the high end, you're talking about $22 million going out to these players, about $1 million apiece for a starter. And I think if you look at the amount of money that's being spent, you're allowed to compensate directly up to $21 million for all your student athletes. Football gets about $16 or $17 million if you're going to spend the full $21 million, typically. At the high end, the Texases, those types of teams, they apparently are spending around $40 million for their team. A team in Penn State's ballpark, I think they're around $30 million. And then you could work your way down from there. So, Dustin, looking at how money is allocated by position, do you look at these dollars and say, you know what? I'd give this position more money and that position less money?
I think so. As a general thought, I would say probably no, but this is where it would make a difference. If I'm the GM for Schuette State University, I would it depends on my coaching staff, right? So if I have the best O-line coach and he's in the past developed 3-star offensive linemen and put them in the NFL regularly, then maybe I don't pay as much for the offensive line because I feel like I can develop. Same thing at the quarterback. Why am I spending $5 million on Brendan Sorsby? Sorry, Brendan. When I feel like I can get Rocco Becht for $1.5 million. You know, so it, to me, it just depends on where do I feel like I am the most comfortable. Now, there are going to be schools, like you said, Jim, like Ohio State's going to spend money at every position, and they're going to probably be at the higher end for a lot of those starting guys. To me, I don't know that there's anything I would change. I feel like offensive tackle is probably undervalued on this list. At least at the low end, like at the high end, $1.3 million is probably, this is on the list. I don't know. I'm not going to read all of this, but the offensive tackle you have listed $600,000 to $1.3 million. I would say you'd probably want to go higher for a high. How do I want to say this? The low end should be higher for a good offensive tackle. I don't know if there's anything else like. Honestly, why are we paying kickers and punters $300,000?
I mean, when your team needs that kick at the buzzer, you'll know why. Now, I think it should be pointed out that at least on the offensive side of the ball, and I'm kind of starting to look at the defense, offensive tackle after quarterbacks, and even looking on the defensive side of the ball, tackles are the second highest paid after a quarterback. So, you know, they are valued. Now, the quarterbacks are the extreme. Like the high end is $4 million. The next highest is 1.5 on the high side for a defensive tackle. Okay. So quarterbacks are, and it actually says $4 million plus, as the example you had of Brendan Sorsby. So, you know, is that fair? Is the quarterback the real value play? Or do you say, you know what? We can't compete like your Cincinnati, who lost Brendan Sorsby to Texas Tech. Texas Tech said, we're going all in on a quarterback. We're paying them at the high end. We're paying that $4 million or $5 million. Do you say to yourself, you know what? I could save $2, $3 million and go get myself an entire offensive line to protect a guy who may not be as good as Brendan Sorsby, but I'm sure as hell going to protect him with a great offensive line.
Well, that's what I find interesting about this. Like if it was me, I would find, and they did pay Fernando Mendoza a good amount of money, but coming out of Cal, did anybody really think like, oh, Fernando Mendoza is the best quarterback in college football? No, nobody thought that. So why would you not say, you know what, we think we found a diamond in a rough. We're going to pay him a good amount of money, but we're also going to save $2 or $3 million, like you said, and we're going to boost up our offensive line because that's where we need to give him, maybe he needs a number one target at wide receiver. You know, so you can allocate those funds a little bit differently to me. So I guess I'm going to backtrack on my answer here. I think the high end of the quarterback should be lower because I think in today's football I think there was a time where, especially in the Big 12, you needed to have an elite level quarterback. I don't think you have to, like Alabama won how many national championships with the quote unquote game manager, right? Like Greg McElroy, AJ McCarron, those guys weren't NFL caliber quarterbacks, but they won national championships because every other position group was so good around them. So I think that to me, like, it, again, I don't know anything about Texas Tech. I know they were good last year, but I don't know what their offensive line looked like. It doesn't matter how much you pay Brennan Sorsby. If he didn't have somebody to block for him, he's not going to do anything. So, I mean, there are, if you had, Jim, I'm going to throw a, if you had a Tim Tebow, if you had a Cam Newton, if you had a Robert Griffin III, somebody who can completely change the game and maneuver around, like, even if you have a bad offensive line, those guys made you look good. If there's a player like that, then maybe you throw a lot of money at him. But for most quarterbacks, would you go above $2 million? Maybe $2.5 million? I don't know what it would be necessary for. I want to boost up the other position groups, especially now when you have to play 16, 17 games, because not only do you need really good starters, you're going to need depth.
Well, you also have, I'm glad you talked about some of the premier quarterbacks and would you pay them. I was going to counter your thinking about Alabama having game managers as quarterbacks. With Clemson won two national championships. Guess what? They had two NFL quarterbacks in Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, there's the argument for the high-end quarterback. The question is, how many of those guys are around and how many of them are in the portal? Mendoza turned into the Heisman Trophy winner, the number one pick in the draft, but no one saw that coming before he got there. The year before, Indiana made the playoffs. And by the way, who was the quarterback in Cignetti's first year?
Curtis O'Rourke. It's Curtis O'Rourke. I don't know why I always give him the O. I want to make him Irish, Jim. I don't know why. I always do that. Anyway.
Well, with O'Rourke, it should be O'Rourke. But, you know, and where did he come from, Dustin?
Ohio.
A MAC school. Ohio, not Ohio State. So, you know, he kind of showed that. So I think if you're a team that's a non-Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, Texas, the schools that just overpay to get the guy they want, and Texas Tech, I think with Sorsby, it was, hey, he's the best guy out there. We're going to guarantee we get him. Mm-hmm. And we'll overpay if we have to make sure we get him. If you're not one of those elite teams, something came up. And I heard this from somebody who's kind of in the know, and it really struck me. And he was talking about Ohio State as an example. Ohio State's going to get all those elite guys, maybe five-star. I forget about using five-star. I'm going to say top 100 players, okay. I think is a better way to allocate, top 100, top 200. And Ohio State will always get those guys. The fact is they also then used to get the top 200 or top 300 guy. Well, now, because they're investing so much in those top 100 players, guys who are in the top 200 or 300, someone like a West Virginia or a Pitt could make them their highest paid player. And now Penn State has gone through something. They lost two committed cornerbacks in the last couple weeks, and they went to West Virginia and to Virginia. No doubt programs that aren't in the same level as Penn State, but they're going to be one of the top players at those schools and probably paid that way, as opposed to being one of the lower paid players at Penn State. So that's a way where I think there is more parity going on in the sport.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think that you can see some of these players are going to choose to go other places because you don't have to go to those, you know, seven or eight schools in order to make the college football playoff. As we've seen, you know, SMU, Indiana, I'm sure there's Arizona State, Ole Miss, all these schools have made the college football playoffs. So you don't have to be at Alabama, Ohio State, you know, throw in Clemson or Notre Dame, whoever, to get into the playoffs. So that helps. As you just mentioned, having the ability to pay them a little bit more than maybe the Ohio State. That'll interest some players too. But then there's also the idea that I'll leave it on the cliffhanger.
That's it. That's a key for the next quarter, Dustin. We'll pick up right from there after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Dustin Schutte. Quarter number four of our show. Every one of our listeners, Dustin, was waiting with bated breath.
Yeah.
To hear the completion of your story. I hope to God you didn't forget it.
This usually does happen to me. I have short-term memory loss. So we talked about, you know, how it's in terms of parity, and this is maybe sound a little counterintuitive, but so obviously you don't have to go to the big name programs to win a national championship. You can, some of those smaller schools, like you mentioned, Pitt, West Virginia, can offer a little bit more to a top 200 guy, and maybe that'll be more appealing. But then there's also the idea that if you get one of those game-changing type guys that comes in as a freshman, that guy could say, you know what, I really want to play at Penn State, but I'm going to spend my first year or two at West Virginia making this money, which is more than Penn State will offer me, in hopes that down the road, Penn State will look at what I've been able to produce, how I've been able to help West Virginia, and then say, you know what, we actually will be able to up our offer. And if Penn State's, let's say, a wide receiver away, they say, you know what, we'll give you that 1.2. You're making 800,000 at West Virginia. Come here, we'll make one. You'll make 1.2 million. So there's another way that, and I don't know that that's in terms of parity, but at least West Virginia, instead of never getting that player, they get that player for 2 years. And then there might be other guys that say, hey, this guy performed at a really high level at West Virginia and then was able to move. I mean, I know that's, again, counterintuitive, but I think there's that line of thinking. And maybe Pitt or West Virginia is a bad example. But if you have a guy that says, hey, I'm going to go to SMU, well, SMU is now a Power Four school, but give me an example here. What's a
MAC school?
Yeah, Boise State, Ball State, Ohio. I'm going to go there. They, you know, maybe we can sneak in as a group of five team into the playoff, and then I'm going to be able to move on to that next level of my career. So there's a lot of different factors as to how the recruiting can be a little more balanced in today's with the expanded playoff.
And, you know, I'm not looking to denigrate West Virginia or Pitt in making that comment, because it also works the other way. Penn State brought in James Peoples from Ohio State. Why? He's not going to get the carries at Ohio State with Bo Jackson there, you know, the star running back that they have. I think there are ways, and these can be used as strategies to get, you know, players in. Now, if you're a school that doesn't have the best players, or if you are, Indiana, they are now on the third straight year of going to the portal for a quarterback. Dustin, is that the strategy? I'm not going to waste my money, which it costs a lot to bring a high school quarterback into your program who may sit for 2 years. So you may have, you know, paid him $2 million over those 2 years to sit, and then he moves on anyway. You know, it was dead money. Would a program, would Dustin Schutte State University maybe say, you know what, I'm just going to get my quarterback every year from the portal?
Yeah, I don't think that that's a bad strategy at all. I think that there is still – I still think you want maybe to have somebody waiting in the wing if you bring in a freshman. But if you don't feel good about your quarterback room, then go out – by all means, go out and get one, because it's going to be hard to recruit a quarterback every other year. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I'm sure there's an example, but I'm trying to think of right now who has been an excellent quarterback who is returning to their school. Because Julian's saying technically a transfer, right?
Technically, yeah.
Bryce Underwood would be an example, but I mean, he's going to be a sophomore. So I think that there's still value. Arch Manning is a good example. He's been at Texas his entire career. I do think that there's still some value in if you – I think this is what it boils down to. Do you feel good about your ability to develop the quarterback room? If you do, then maybe you get a high school recruit, and maybe it doesn't have to be the 4 or 5-star kid. Or do you feel like, you know what, we're not the best at developing quarterbacks. Let's get a guy who's been developed and plug him into our offense.
How about this, Dustin? Let's put you I'll give a name. You know, let's say a Purdue, okay? A couple years ago, people would have laughed about Indiana being a playoff contender. Now, as you pointed out, Indiana has a respectable number as far as dollars and cents go. So if all of a sudden you have, you know, $25 or $30 million to spend on players in the Purdue program, is your philosophy, you know what, I'm going to get a couple of really high-end players. You know, I'll pay the extra money for the quarterback. I'll pay the extra money for a stud wide receiver? Or are you saying, I have a better shot at this if I balance out my money more?
To me, I think balancing the money, because it's such a game now of depth. And I think that that's always been the case, but even more so, like I said, if I'm saying I'm putting all my chips on the table to win a national championship, I maybe am identifying if there's a couple guys in the portal. Let's say you're looking at the top 10 guys in there, and you've got a quarterback, an offensive tackle, and an edge rusher, three really important pieces to win a national championship. Maybe I pay a little bit more for those guys and then say, all right, these are the guys that I'm going to spend a lot of money on, and then we need to balance the book and spread out the wealth a little bit. Now, is that going to tick off some of my current players? Maybe. But I do think coaches are in a situation where, number one, you say, hey, guys, this is how the NFL works. You might have been with the New York Giants for 10 years, but, you know, if Justin Herbert becomes available, we're going to go spend and put and give him a lot of money. That's just how it works. And the other thing is we're going to go try to win a national championship. So, and I don't know, do these players have incentives? Do they get bonuses if they win a national? I don't know what their NIL deals are. So it's a tricky situation, but I generally think you can probably have a few guys who are on the top end of that, of some of the, you know, costs that you sent. But I think generally you probably want more balance, because you're going to have good players, especially on the offensive and defensive lines. And they're going to have to be good too deep, because again, you're playing 16 or 17 games anymore.
Well, I also think there's a situation where you got to know what your own situation is. In the NFL, the Eagles with Howie Roseman, many think he's the best GM in the league. Running backs have been devalued in the NFL. You don't draft them high. You don't pay a lot of money for them. You don't want to pay that second contract. So what does Howie Roseman do? He goes out and gets Saquon Barkley and pays him like the highest contract for a running back.
Yeah.
But they were on the cusp of a Super Bowl. He would put him over the top, put the Eagles over the top, and he did. For the Giants, who were a bad team with a bad offensive line, it didn't matter how good Saquon Barkley was.
Right.
So I think now in college football, you've also got to look at things that way. And, you know, do you place some value? Gee, maybe I can't compete to get the very best wide receivers. So maybe I overpay for the best tight end who could give me something. I do think running back is another position, interesting position in college. I think there's every year there's a lot of good running backs that come out of high school. How many of them are elite, though? So do I pay extra for that elite guy? After that, you know what? I'm not going to invest a lot of money because I have a lot of choices.
Yeah, I think that that's the one. And to me, I don't know if there's a running back. I mean, Kenneth Walker from Michigan State is the one. I'm sure there's many others, but like Michigan State should not have been that good. But he made their offensive line look terrific in 2021, I believe it was. There are very few running backs that are capable of doing that. Like, if you don't have a good offensive line, your running back is not going to produce at a high level. I've seen it live multiple times. The running back to me is, you're right. If you have a good offensive line and you think we really just need a running back, somebody who we feel like can have that burst, then maybe you pay the high end for a running back. But other than that, I hate to say that they're a dime a dozen, but
they're a dime a dozen.
But yeah, it's like a, you know, a three. I don't, that's a bad example. But if you have a guy in basketball who's just a 3-point shooter, if that's what you need, then he really helps you. But you'd also don't have to pay a ton because everybody can shoot in today's game of basketball, right? So I think it's very similar with the running backs. There might be a handful out there that are absolutely game changers. But if you don't have a good offensive line, you don't have a good quarterback, running back isn't going to be able to do much.
Right. There's a lot of good running backs. There may only be a handful of great ones. But now, what would be your strategy with the portal, Dustin?
In terms of what?
Just, you're now the GM. What's your overall strategy in using the portal? Do you avoid it as much as possible? Do you have certain positions? We had mentioned quarterback. Places that you say, you know what? I don't care if I recruit one. I'll go get them out of the portal.
Yeah, I would. So you do, and if obviously you have to evaluate your team and see what you need. To me, I, just because it's been proven, I probably go the Kurt Cignetti path. I don't care what you were ranked in high school. I don't care what your measurements are. Were you able to produce at your school? And why are you leaving? So to me, like, if I have a cornerback who had 6 interceptions in the portal, I'm giving that a lot of, you know, that's a playmaker. I don't care if he played at FIU or Bethune-Cookman or wherever. Can you produce? And maybe it doesn't work out, but I'm looking at the production standpoint. I don't think that there's a certain position group that I'm identifying every single year. I think quarterback probably makes the most sense if you wanted to do that. I don't know if there's a specific position group that I'm thinking I have to have a transfer player in there. I think if you want the most experience, like, I think the important pieces that you would add from the portal then are going to be offensive tackle, quarterback, maybe like a Mike linebacker, somebody who can be your green dot, who can be your communicator. Outside of that, I just want your production. I want to know what you were able to produce. Can you get on the field for me? I can't think if there's a specific position group, though.
Well, I think you hit it in that, you know, the portal could be a place to go get an experienced player. That's one of the things that is of value, and we've seen it over the last couple of years. Kurt Cignetti, again, the best example of it. Dustin, I'm afraid that's going to have to be it for our show. We're wrapping up. Thank you, Dustin. Thank all of you for tuning in. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.